Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back, and Survivor 43 episode 10 is in the books. And it's in the books. Noelle's gone. Noelle went home. Pretty much who everybody thought was going to go home. We had Romeo on this podcast doing his predictions and power rankings with us. He had Noelle at last. I had Noelle at last. Alexa, you had Noelle at last, or did you have Cody at last? I can't remember.
Noelle at last.
You did. You had Cody really low, but not all the way at the bottom. And the editors did their darndest to make us believe that it wasn't going to be Noelle. But at the end of the day, Noelle is sent packing. But all of that being said, I thought this was a solid episode, had some solid moments. And I do want to say, before we get into boots and all of that stuff, Noelle's reward challenge performance was one of, if not the coolest thing that has ever happened in a challenge on the show Survivor, in my opinion. That was so unreal. And I don't get like this with this. I am the first person to be like, I could give a damn that Suri got across that balance beam. Like, just fall off and cut. I don't need to watch this. But what she did in this challenge to overcome the obstacle that she had, and to still manage to get across the beam and not only get across, but then win.
Mm-hmm.
So unreal. And I do understand that, like, if she threw that bag 150 times, she probably nails it the one time she did. But It was so impressive to watch, and just the perseverance and all of that. I was a huge fan of what she was able to do and what she was able to accomplish. And even though she only tied Chad for placement with 8th out of 18, I will give her the nod, because Chad certainly did not have a moment like that on Vanuatu.
Yeah, he didn't necessarily have the same kind of game that Noelle played. That was an amazing challenge. And also, like, I could go for 10 minutes here. I've rewatched Heroes, Healers, Hustlers over the course of 2 days. I've had a lot of free time recently.
What is wrong with you anyway?
I have to say, it's really good on a rewatch. I actually shockingly really enjoyed it. But there are so many reward challenges in that season, and so many decisions are made during those rewards. So I was really happy that this happened. And we got Noelle very clearly explaining why she chose who she chose. Jesse sort of struggles with that when he decides to vote her out. But that, I haven't felt that way during or after a challenge. I cannot tell you the last time that I felt that way. I'm home for Thanksgiving. I'm with my family who doesn't watch Survivor, and everyone is just like, oh my God, there's no way she's going to do this. No way she's going to do it. And the whole time I'm kind of like, you cast somebody without a leg and you didn't really consider making it a little wider or evening it out, whether or not doesn't even matter, because she did it and then nails it. That looks like a really hard toss. It looked like far and high.
It was far, yeah.
It was reminding me of Cass winning the final four immunity because they kept cutting to her. And I was like, this is so horrible. Like, don't show me this. This is horrible. And I don't know how she feels, but I know that like crying anger that yeah. she was, we've all been there. And then for her to turn around and win it and just absolutely collapse was so real. And that it was so real. And that's what was so amazing about it.
Yeah, it's kind of like, okay, so obviously we are big Danny McRae fans, and Danny had the whole build up to his immunity challenge win where it was talking about his father and his father's accident and all of that stuff. But what I found so interesting about this one, and obviously it's a different circumstance because she is an amputee and Danny is not, but it's kind of like if you make a movie, right? Can you make a scene that's 5 minutes long with no dialogue and still get your point across and still make it emotional and still make people care? Mm-hmm. And this just felt so natural. And sometimes that feels more natural than having to have, oh, here's your three scenes that set up this twist or this big moment that then ultimately doesn't end up being a big moment. This felt so natural and not forced. And I was with you. I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, I understand. Like, I hate the fact that they do it by body weight now. I hate that they do, like, I hate that they change it by the size of your feet. I think that it should be old school Survivor where you go out there and if they tell you to hold 150 pounds and you can't do it, like, too bad. Like, because
not a big foot, suck it up.
If you have a big foot, but think about that. When Rupert used to have to stand on the little nub, that was before they started making them based on the size of your feet. So that poor guy's doing that. But then at the same time, you had Krista carrying all that weight back in Pearl Islands. Like, there was no curve to it. So I preface by saying that, but then I started sitting there and I'm like, they had to know Noelle was not like based on how that was going. I was like, what are they doing here? Because obviously on this season, they're not going to do the foot challenge. You know what I'm talking about? Where they have to pick up the blocks with their feet, because that would be ridiculous. That would literally be unfair. So I wasn't sure how I felt about this, but I also think that just speaks to our general, like, just biases and what we're going to assume about people. And I think that's why I love this so much. Was because Noelle found a way.
Figured it out.
Despite there being no reason she should have found a way. And I loved her statement at the end where it was like, if I had two legs, I would have given up. Because yeah. I do think for so many people, especially somebody like Noelle, who is an athlete and things like that, you see this all the time, right? Like, there was a Miami Dolphins football player got in a car accident and lost his arm. And he can't play football anymore. And people will take for granted certain aspects of things. And you never know how you're going to react in this type of situation until you're in it. And a lot of people are lucky to never have to be in this type of situation. But for Noelle to persevere and do what she did, it was epic. It was awesome. And it just, like, it really brought to, like, it brought to the forefront what Survivor can be, right? Because what I was getting worried about, and I'm sitting there and I was already rolling my eyes. I'm going, oh God. So now she's not going to get across. And then Jeff's going to have everybody go over and they're all going to clap for her. Like,
how is she going to be okay with that?
Yeah. Like, and it's just going to be uncomfortable. And then she's going to get across and Jeff's going to be like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And I was already rolling my eyes. And instead we got this real, authentic, unbelievable moment. And it just, it felt old school, even though we never saw anything like this in the old school either. It just felt like something that was straight out of, like, real, real Survivor. And that's where there were no advantages, no disadvantage. You just played the game. And if you beat somebody, you beat them. And Noelle found a way. And it was unbelievable.
It was really good. And that's what I've appreciated about her this whole season. And I think that's just her personality. She's very, like, no BS. She's just like, this is here. I kept sucking at it. And then I figured it out and I won. She doesn't pity herself. She goes out there and she went on Survivor just like everybody else. And she made it to the final eight. Just like so many other people have not done. Yeah. So I'm really going to miss her because even though she was like the least edited person of the season, and that's no fault of her own. I wish we saw more of her because every time she's on the screen, I loved her. She brought a very, very refreshing type of personality and type of play to Survivor. And I'm glad that she's probably the only person this season who's going to get a whole episode all about her. Except yeah. this episode also being about Jesse. But I really, really appreciated that she got a whole coming out episode or a whole swan song episode because she deserved it. I hope they cast more people like her. She was a real joy to have.
She was a real joy to have. And
she was going to say, I hoped the Gabler and Carla conversation happened a little too late.
Yeah. So this is where I'm at with the Gabler and Carla conversation. So first of all, the checklist was flat out stupid. Okay. Ugh. I'm just going to say that. Like, and I like Jesse.
You think Jesse's like going to win? Like, do you think they like
him? Oh my God. Like, take the hammer and hit me in the skull with it. Why don't you? Like, it was so insane that they were doing like that.
Four, hit Phil in the head.
Yeah, exactly. Right now, Alexa, please hit me in the head. So I just couldn't handle this because, first of all, it's season 43. Now, I like Jesse, right? Like, I really do. And I like his game. And this isn't his fault, right? He said all these things, but he's having a good time with the producers. He doesn't know what's going to make the cut. Like, it's freaking Sly Cooper. Like, that's what it felt like. It felt like Sly Cooper. It's freaking 2003 video game with a raccoon. So anyway, go look up the game just like this. But it's season 43. We have seen 1.7 million blindsides pulled. We have watched Russell Hance play and Parvati Shallow and Boston Rob. And we had It's a Turtle, okay? This was not groundbreaking. This was not news to anybody. This wasn't anything special. This was just Jesse saying what needed to happen in this. And I'm fine with it if he just says it. What aggravated me was the checklist. And it was so unnecessary. And it telegraphed everything. Now, Gabler, all of a sudden, I'm sitting there and I'm going, is Alexa about to become a Gabler stan? Like, in my mind, I'm like, if Gabler
She's been here.
Alexa's coming on this podcast with a gigantic freaking goatee, and she's just going to be like, whatever I said about him episodes 1 through 3, it don't matter. I'm here to stay now.
I'm going to shave all the hair off the top of my head, and I'm going to put it right on my chin.
That's it. I love it. That will be so attractive. But it was annoying, especially when nothing came of it. Because now I sit there and I'm like, I don't know if I can watch this episode again. Like, this episode, even though it had the Noelle thing, which was absolutely amazing, goes into the pile with like all those other episodes that you just are like cringing the entire time or just never want to watch again because they don't make you feel good. This kind of feels like that now just because I'm like, why are they forcing this so hard down our throats? And now I'm starting to think Jesse doesn't win because that would be too obvious at this point. That would be stupid.
It was a lot. And I don't like, I didn't hate it, but I was just like, all right, like it's just a lot. And I'm enjoying watching Jesse. I think Jesse's probably one of the most popular people on this cast. He's an excellent narrator, but it felt very gratuitous and I liked it because it was different, but it was, I don't know. I can't totally find the words. I thought it was creative but I think maybe because it was so obvious that Noelle was going home, maybe that was what it was, but it was just a little eye rolly, but I appreciated that they tried something a little different. But for Noelle's going home episode, this became Jesse's episode very quickly. I really thought that they could switch something just because of now they realize that Jesse and Cody are a power couple and it is starting to get too late. Now it's the final seven. There's only, I guess, 3 more real votes and Jesse has 2 idols. So I hope he doesn't steamroll to the end. I don't want him to go home, but I do for the sake of continuing the momentum of this season, you know?
Yeah, because for all that being said, as much as I hated the checklist, I still thought tonight's episode was a good episode. Because
it was a great episode.
Yeah, like the whole thing with Noelle was great. I love the strategizing between these players. Like, I really, really am enjoying watching them play. They are all playing so freaking hard. Like, this is a 10 out of 10 cast in terms of how hard they're playing the game. Nobody came out there to sit on their ass. And that can't be said for really many other seasons of Survivor. If you go back and watch them, there's at least one person who makes it far who has no business being there. Like, we all started writing off Gabler early on just because, you know, he was kind of getting the bozo at it. And now all of a sudden we're sitting there tonight going, are him and Carla about to take this thing to the end? Like,
As we all expected.
It was so unbelievable, but nothing came of it. And it's okay. You can have episodes that fizzle, but we need Cody or Jesse to go next week for the better of this season. And that's going to be hard to watch because I like Cody and Jesse, but I like the other five people who are playing this game just as much as I like Cody and Jesse. Like, I'm a big fan of all seven of the players who are left in this game. And I think every single one of them deserves to win in their own way. Cody or Jesse going home is probably better for this season because it gives that momentum. It gives that unpredictability. The problem is, and it's not a problem from we actually like the person standpoint, but the problem is if Cody goes first, there is no way they are booting Jesse out of this game before the final three. He'd have to go home at fire because if Cody goes home next week, Jesse's got an idol at final six or final five. Always a chance he wins immunity. He's a good enough social player. He's going to play really hard. He might find another idol. I mean, Alexa was just watching HHH. You never know. And then we're at final four. Like, it's going to depend on how that goes. If Jesse goes next week, I think Cody could also go. I don't know why, but I do find myself pulling for like a Gabler, Cassidy, Owen final three. Like, I would be so stoked if that was the final three.
Is that what's the one you texted me? Jesse, Cassidy, Gabler.
Jesse, Cassidy, Gabler is my prediction for final three. Jesse beats Cassidy barely, and then Gabler gets third. But now everybody in the chat, this was before the checkmark thing, though. If I had to change it after the checkmark thing, I don't know if I'd still put Jesse in the final three because, man, is he getting that obvious of a winner's edit?
Someone's got to get – Jesse's going to find the knowledge is power. That would – I would explode. That would just be
– I would explode.
Set to really combust.
I would explode. I would block Jesse on all social media if he finds the knowledge of power.
I think he would find it and be like, crap.
You can, Alexa, you can say fuck now because everybody on this season says it. Noelle got her mouth blurred without even when they were doing a voiceover to somebody else. Somebody else was doing a voiceover and Noelle's mouth is getting
blurred. I just got to Noelle and blur her mouth.
It's unbelievable. Everybody, so everybody.
I know. I should just swear and become a member of this cast at this point.
I know. We don't fit in. We're too old.
I know. Seriously. What else do we have here? So the vote ends up being kind of interesting, actually. So Owen and Sammy vote for Carla. So Sammy is wrong and poor Owen is wrong for the ninth out of the 10th time.
Yeah.
And Noelle votes for Sammy. So Noelle, Sammy, and Owen were not included in this group, but Gabler makes the switch over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think Gabler, see, this is where it's been a fun week-to-week season because who's in and who's out is very different every week. Like, I would have never expected Sammy to be going to Carla a minute before Tribal to tell her, hey, we're voting James off. But then I would never expect Gabler to be going to Carla a minute before Tribal saying, Cody and Jesse are running this game. We need to get rid of one of them, but I'll just vote with you all this time. It really feels like Cody and Jesse want Gabler to be their GOAT. It really feels that way. Sammy feels like he overplayed his hand. And it feels like Sammy's drawn dead a little bit here. Now, I don't think Sammy's game is over, but I do think he's drawn dead a little bit.
Well, I think he's in trouble because at the top of the episode, we were talking about this with Romeo, but at the top of the episode, Noelle and Owen are like, why did you take our move from us? And even like Sammy's like, oh, yeah, I needed Carla to know. But like Carla even says, she's like, I was about to be totally blindsided. And then Sammy loops me in. So I think there was already a little mistrust from Sammy about Sammy. And then Will takes him on the reward. And then next confessional, she's like, I don't trust this guy. He sucks. Yeah. And I think that shows that he's flipping, but not in a way that people are liking. And that's so impossible to, that's a really, really tough balance to strike. But I think he wants to be with everybody. But at some point you do sort of need to decide. But he was going to flip today. He was going to vote out Carla or try to get rid of Carla's idol, even though he saved her, quote unquote, saved her last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. And I think that Sammy almost went into like Will Wall mode here, where he tried too hard to play the back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And eventually that's always going to bite you. You can, like you said, you have to pick a side eventually. And Sammy felt like he picked a side by going with Carla, but then he had to come back and answer to everybody. And so he still voted out what Owen and Noelle wanted. So whose side did he really pick in all of this? And I think that's the hardest part of this situation. I think Sammy has just overplayed himself and he hasn't done the Alec Gabler. Does that make sense here? Like he has not
only
gone back.
One person can do the
He hasn't gone back under. He thinks he's under the water, but he is like completely exposed right now. And I thought it was interesting. We didn't get much from Sammy tonight because I think that last week might have been the final thing that we're really going to see Sammy do right, in air quotes. I think he's in a lot of trouble moving forward, even though he still hasn't gotten a vote. And that's always going to be compelling too. If Sammy doesn't get a single vote and gets the final tribal council, maybe he still wins anyway, because are they really seeing Sammy as a goat? I don't think so.
I don't think they are. I think they just don't trust him. And now Carla was incredible at not playing her idol.
Sammy got a no vote tonight. Andy threw that in.
Oh, he did. Yeah. Noelle voted for him. But he's going to have to explain that to Carla, because Carla still kind of really only has Cassidy and I guess Jesse and Cody. We didn't see them. I don't think we saw them talk a lot tonight. But she thought that Sammy had her back, and now he just voted for her. I want to talk about her idol a little bit. It kind of just came up that it's apparently public information, and that came from Jesse again, that he was like, oh yeah, we heard that Carla was looking for beads on her beach. Why did that come up now? I don't know why it took five episodes for us, because I thought that was totally hers. Nobody knew. And in a secret scene, we see, or in a, I don't know, an exit interview, we hear that she said that Lindsay found it to try to get it out of the way. But all of a sudden, everybody knows that Carla has an idol. That felt really out of left field.
It did. And why were we not seeing, this was something we talked about with Romeo, why were we not seeing this come up in conversations about how it came to be? Who was mentioning that she was looking for the beads? And because that is clearly having some sort of impact, right? Like this was a reason.
The votes on her.
Yeah, this is a reason why they weren't completely confident in voting her just straight out. So with that being said, we should be seeing those types of conversations happen. And that's where there's been a little bit of a disconnect on this season that is preventing it from being like a top tier season. And that's in those, why is Gabler going to Carla tonight? Since when do they have a relationship? Why was Sammy going to Carla last week? Since when do they have a relationship? And why is everybody worried that Carla now has an idol, when we have seen week after week after week, it seemed like Carla is completely in the clear. Now James and Ryan are both gone and somehow it's coming up. The only other person who would know would be Cassidy. So she clearly didn't say it. So it's clearly been going on for days. And I just wish that we saw those conversations. I want to see the reactions to, oh, so Carla was looking for beads, huh? Like, I want to see that. And I want to know who the rat is.
Yeah, because we got like, you saw Noelle being like, oh yeah, Cody's so crazy. He looked for beads. And everyone was like, oh my God, I'm shocked that they didn't just throw that into Carla, mention Carla there as well. And then Jesse is still holding on to Cody's idol because he got the ticker saying it. So it's very official. There must be a lot of trust there. And I get that, because they are probably the closest two out there, or confidently the closest two out there. But I don't know, there's eight people left and you're not asking for your idol back. Like, I want to hear about it. I want to hear them talk about it.
Well, and that was the one moment in this game where I actually thought that it was going to be Jesse or Cody, was when the two of them were powwowing, being like, I haven't heard your name. That's amazing. We haven't heard our names. And I was like,
show us.
Are we about to get a slap across the face to one of these two? Like, is that what's going to happen here? And it didn't happen, but that was the one moment where I said, maybe we should have been paying closer attention, and Gabler or Carla was setting up the, you know, fall guy and the cover story and all that. And we were being hoodwinked, kind of, but that's not what happened, because then it was, wow, Cody and Jesse's names really aren't coming up.
I was waiting for a Johnny Mundo or a JP, like, out of nowhere Cody vote.
Yes.
Like, that would have absolutely floored me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this was just an obvious one. I think Romeo said it really beautifully, but like, Noelle just has like, how can you sit at the end with her? Not even because she's an amputee. It's just, she's playing really well. And Jesse made some good points. She's had all of her people voted out and she's never had her footing, dare I say.
Oh,
but
God.
I really did not mean that, but I had to. She gets a new number one every time, and it she figures it out. And then she has this huge episode. Yeah. She wins this huge reward. I assume there aren't many rewards, or maybe they're having them and not showing us, but it didn't seem like it. This seemed like it replaced the family visit, is my guess.
Yeah, that is what it felt like. And I was a fan of them still getting the letters and everything like that. But yeah, like, we're not getting a family visit. We might never get a family visit again.
You think we'll never get one again? I was wondering that. I really hope not.
Is it worth it for the 6 to 7 minutes of cries to pay? I don't
know. How much does it cost?
It's like $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 to fly out 8-9 people. I don't think so.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, if I'm the Fiji, you got to house them in Fiji. You got to feed them in Fiji. You got to fly them back from Fiji. Probably got to house them in LA for a night or two too, because they're all flying from somewhere else.
Yeah, it's probably gonna be like the auction where they're not. Well, they're never gonna say it, but it's probably gone. But do you know what's not gone? That horrible breathing torture challenge.
Yeah.
In the preview, this both challenges today. Well, I guess the spinning dizzy one we've seen recently, but I liked it. I liked how they had to spin.
Owen was using his hips. That's all I'm gonna say. Owen was in it.
Oh, he was using them hips.
He was in it.
He was in it. Gabler not using them.
Gabler not using his. Gabler finally looking his age, needs a hip replacement as soon as he gets home. But Owen,
man's strength does not apply to the spin.
No, it does not. Owen, though, he had the motion going. That's all.
Someone gif that for us.
Yeah, please. I'll make that. We'll put that in the top corner here instead of Survivor Specialist. It'll just be Owen spinning over and over again like Owen's a spinning ball.
Yeah, that's going to be a new logo.
Yes.
But that immunity challenge, that sent me back a little bit, and I really liked that. I loved the compilation of everyone just falling, because that challenge looked horrible. It looked really hard. It took almost an hour, it seemed like.
Yeah.
But we're going back to a really old school challenge, which I am really excited about, because I hate that challenge, but it's really fun to watch.
It is. This was just in Palau, which I just rewatched, and that's the one where Janu just decides, like, I don't want to do it anymore. She's in there for like literally half a second, and then she just comes out because Janu just quit after.
COVID. I would literally quit that challenge as soon as the tide goes up. I'm like, I'm out of here.
I'm a big fan of it, though. It's the mind over matter, and then it quickly becomes matter.
It's mind over matter until it's very much not.
Yeah, and I love how Jeff will definitely do it. It's mind over matter. Can you handle it? And it's like, well, when water gets up your nose and you can't breathe, it's no longer mind over matter. It is physically debilitating.
Cody can't handle being waterboarded. What the heck?
Yeah, exactly.
Literally.
What a loser. Like, yeah, okay. I would like to see Jeff maybe do this challenge once. But anyway, so
I love you, Jeff. Phil maybe doesn't.
No, I love Jeff too. I actually saw it made me cry a little bit when I saw earlier today somebody had posted him saying, I never said merge. And I was like, damn, Jeff used to be so young. He used to be so young.
I know. Also, Jeff and Carla flirted a little bit and I liked it.
Yeah, I know. I know. Jeff's feeling a little, he's feeling himself out there, season 43. He
not as much as Owen is, but Jeff's feeling
himself. Well, yeah. I mean, good for Owen. But anyway, so what were we getting? Oh, with the challenge. Yeah. So the challenge today, so these are weird challenges for me, right? Because there's really nothing visually appealing about this Stack'em challenge. There's really nothing all that exciting about this. And there was nothing all that exciting about, like when they used to do the, you have to line them all up and spell immunity or like whatever it was, like
perseverance.
Their endurance, but I kind of prefer to just watch people stand on things or watch people balance things rather than do something like this. This challenge was frustrating, but this one was frustrating, I thought. But then I felt like this was different from the way they've done similar challenges like this in the past. I feel like this might have been like the hardest iteration they've done.
The cards seemed thinner and they were more like rectangle instead of square.
Yeah.
This seemed really hard because Cassidy was like, oh, I'll just stack them to the end. And that very much couldn't have happened.
Very good strategy, though.
I know. I really liked it. I liked this challenge. Maybe because I enjoy seeing everyone fail so much instead of just standing there.
Alexa loves when people fail. Put it on her tombstone.
This is a great episode.
Yeah. I love Loser.
I don't know. Maybe just because it was a little different, I appreciated that. And that's, it's not expensive. You probably have had those cards for a while. Mm-hmm. I appreciated that it was just a little bit different of an immunity challenge.
Yeah. And it was tough. And I'm happy for Cassidy. I'm happy she won. All the Cassidy stands are like, Queen Cassidy, Queen Cassidy.
Queen.
She is, I mean, you know, I know you all only come tune in to hear it, but man, she is Michelle Fitzgerald 2.0 at this point. I mean, it is just lining up.
In every sense of that, in the sense of Phil being deeply, Rachel, in love, but also She had a winner quote like I've never heard before after that challenge. That was something.
It was like a winner paragraph. She just kept going. It was never ending.
Like she's walking and she's got the thing and it's in slow motion. And she's like, I really think I can do this. And I see Michelle saying, I'm really proud of myself. No. That was it.
That's it. And so it's got all her stands going wild on the interwebs because especially after this, I mean, hey, now we're down. It's funny because now we're down to 5 men and 2 women and all the people who are complaining about all the women going home early aren't complaining as much tonight because Cassidy is the winner of this season and there's no doubt about it. So
Phil and all of his burner accounts are arguing with each other.
They are. I can't even keep track of which personality I'm supposed to have. but I just think what they're doing with the challenges is beneficial to the game. We've seen a lot of different people excel at different challenges throughout the season, but we're also getting big moments from the players in these challenges, right? Like Noelle's had a big moment. Gabler had a big moment. We got kind of a big moment from Cassidy here with her winning this. And early on in the season, she looked like she was going to be the liability on that tribe. I thought she was going to go out really early in this season until she followed us or whatever. And I was like, oh, okay, man.
Yeah, Phil was like, what did you think? You were like, she looks like a leaf, but now she's really great.
Yeah, now she's great. Like, whatever. But I thought she was in trouble. I really did. When you looked at that starting tribe, and I think that she has played that Michelle Fitzgerald type game of being under the radar and not making more moves than you need to. Perfectly. And we're seeing what's happening with somebody else who had a completely different strategy, like Sammy, who wanted to be able to play both sides a little bit. We're seeing how that's starting to bite him. And I'm not saying that Sammy's done by any means, but I do think that it's just showing that and I'm hoping that if Cassidy gets to the end and she continues to play the way she's playing, I do hope she wins. I really do. Because I think it's good for the game. I think these challenges are good for the game. And I think her winning would be good for the game if she got to the end, because it shouldn't be about, oh, well, you were never in control, or you never did this, or you never did that, or blah, blah. Did you go out? Did you perform your strategy? Did you execute it well? And did you still have some merit in the game? That's what it should come down to. And I think right now, Cassidy has perfected the strategy that she wanted to play. She is coming on at the right time. I'm sitting there next to my wife. Sorry, Cassidy. Sitting there next to my wife. And she says, wow, her confessionals are really going up. And I'm like, all right, first of all, you're starting to sound like me and Alexa. So stop that. That's it.
Rachel's been hanging out with you and therefore me too much.
I was going to say, she doesn't even hang out with you. But then it's like, also, if she's noticing, and now my wife has seen the first 10 seasons of Survivor 40, 41, and 42. So she hasn't seen much Survivor. So if she is noticing that, that means that it's happening. It's not fake. It's not just some random thing that's going on.
It's happening GIF.
Yeah, literally. It's happening. Yeah. Cassidy could be pulling this thing out. And if she does, I'm here for it. Like I'm a fan of Cassidy, but I go back to this. I'm a fan of all 7 of these people. I'm not saying that to try to pander, because who knows if we'll be able to get interviews anyway, but I am a fan of all 7 of these people. I just want to highlight Cassidy's game is really starting to come to a head.
Yeah, I don't think we felt this way last season, because I think we were like, Jonathan, if he gets there, he probably wouldn't win. Like, we were always just kind of assuming there were going to be certain people who wouldn't win. Even the last week with Noelle, who probably the quietest edit out of anybody, we were like, she could win this.
Yeah.
Now that, like, who has the, like, Cody is the quietest edit now. This final 7.
Cody still has the most confessionals, or second most now. I think he just got passed, but that's how crazy his edit was. Cody.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. The only 2 people who have had a confessional in every episode, Jesse and Gabler. But this whole final 7, even though, like, I guess like Gabler kind of didn't get what he wanted, but he did vote the right way. Owen is kind of back to ground zero. But you still root for him and you still want him to figure it out. Everyone has a story and everyone has a really good argument at the end. I can't think of a final 8 that can compare to this in terms of every single one having that ability.
At least not recently, right? Like, I feel like if we went back and we really like broke it down, you might be able to, you know, you watch a season like Palau, Stephanie gets 8th place. That final 8 is pretty wild. Or maybe, no, it's Janu. Never mind. Stephanie's 7. So Janu's sucked. I agree with all of that. And I think, I had a train of thought and it's totally gone now.
Final 8, really strong final 8.
Really strong, finally. All the
recent seasons.
I have it. So I hate season 41. I think season 41 is probably the worst season of Survivor in the history of the show. Maybe not worse than Redemption Island or One World, but it is down there for me. Like, I hate season 41.
And a lot of people listening at home, you should have seen the look on my face when Phil
said. Yeah. But I think a lot of people thought that our part of our hate for that season came from Erica won. It wasn't that exciting, whatever. And while I think Erica's edit just wasn't good, and that's why I have a hard time with her as a winner, if Cassidy were to win, this is on a trajectory that makes sense. Marianne's last season was on a trajectory that makes sense. And I think that's what I'm liking about this season. If Gabler were to win this season, you would understand when Gabler's game started to get better and when he started. It really was the Ellie move. It felt like it was a foolish move maybe in the moment, but his game has gotten better since then. If Jesse won, if Cody won, if Carla won, and if Cassidy won. That's the one thing I think they learned after Erica's win, how to kind of edit this quieter, under-the-radar female player's game. And I think Cassidy's edit is showing that, even though, of course, it's never going to be enough Cassidy for the stands, which
there will never be enough Cassidy on my television.
Never, ever.
I think they are if Cassidy wins, or I mean, Carla is not playing an under the radar game. So no. I think if Carla wins, I think it's like totally makes sense. I think 43 seasons later and 15, 16 women winning, they figured it. They will have figured it out, or I hope they will have.
And
Cassidy also was on the winning tribe, and she was quiet, but less quiet than Erica, I feel like. So
for sure. People who think Cassidy was invisible or blind. That's all I'm saying.
It's like, just because someone doesn't have a confessional one episode where they won, like, it's fine.
I actually think too, and this really like just drive it home for the Cassidy stands. I think we're better off if Cassidy loses this season and doesn't make final three, because wow, does that give me faith that the Survivor editors have learned how to edit her archetype, because Victoria wasn't getting this type of edit.
No.
And Erica didn't get this type of edit.
Yeah.
And like, now Cassidy's getting it. If she doesn't win, I mean, why are they giving us so much Cassidy? She's the archetype they always just throw to the wayside.
Yeah. Her player exists. Like there's a Cassidy in every season, but there is a woman playing an under the radar game every season, and people are always obsessed with her. So show us how that person plays.
Yeah.
Not to totally change the subject, but there was a comment that was unintentionally funny. Tori Locker goes, "Has Owen ever voted the right way?" I don't know if you meant it that insultingly, but I appreciate that it came off that way. Possibly once.
I mean, do you give Owen any chance at winning if he gets to the end at this point? Because he's not voting right ever.
I don't know. It's not even the voting right, but I don't know who. I don't think James is going to vote for him to win.
Definitely not voting for him to win.
I don't think that's going to happen. James seemed to have cooled down a little bit, but I really liked his sweatshirt. He voted Janine out. Like, I don't know. I think he would have a good argument, but it feels a little Xander-y in the sense that I like him. He's an underdog, but what will he say? So I'm not sure.
I don't
feel good about him winning.
And I do think that like Owen is one of those players, if he were to play on a different season, he could absolutely win on a different season. He might just be on the wrong season for him. He's on the wrong starting tribe or whatever it shakes out to be. I personally think that his mistake early on might've just been trying to play too much in the middle. Although I did like what Gabler said tonight about if he has to vote out Noelle, that's going to hurt his relationship with Owen and Sammy, and that's going to be something he has to rebuild, and he wants Jesse and Cody to be thinking about that. Gabler is thinking about that kind of stuff. He is thinking about that kind of stuff. We got to start thinking about the jury at some point. He's going to go back, and he's going to have to fix things now with Sammy and Owen, but I still don't think Carla's done with Sammy yet. I don't think Sammy is her king, but I don't think she's done with Sammy just yet. And I think Gabler and Sammy and Owen and Carla could easily pull a fast one on Jesse or Cody, because Jesse and Cody are feeling real comfortable right now, especially with their relationship with Carla. I don't think that they're realizing Gabler and Carla are having these types of conversations behind their back.
I don't think so at all. So I think that's really good for both of them, actually, because they're both tight with Sammy. but they can also, now that they found each other, this is an easy way for them to get rid of Sammy.
It is. It is.
Yeah, in terms of Owen, I don't really know how he can win at this point. And he's in that weird position where he really doesn't have much of anybody at this point. Mm-hmm. And especially if Sammy is going to lose some agency and Gabler is on to greener pastures. So either they can get rid of him because he's easy, or they'll keep him around for a while. I can't really figure it out.
Yeah, I do think that next week we're probably going to see the two competing sides saying, okay, either Jesse or Owen. I think that's what we're probably going to see. I think Sammy is still going to skate by. I think Gabler is going to have more command over this vote. And I think that's where we're heading. I think it's heading towards a Jesse versus Owen. And Owen might be able to skate by just one more time. Because if this is the point that we're getting to, you have Carla, you have Cassidy, they're tight. You have Gabler, who kind of feels like he's really playing a good social game, as weird as I almost feel like I want to throw up when I say that, but
yeah, he is
playing a good social game. So it feels like he can go anywhere. Cody and Jesse are over here. Sammy and Owen are over here. We have Carla and Cassidy over here, and we have the Allie Gabler just kind of in the middle. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be dependent on which way does he want to go and who is he able to get to work together. I don't know if Sammy and Owen are going to want to work with Jesse and Cody. They probably would rather work with Carla and Cassidy if Carla and Cassidy are going to be willing to have them. And I think Gabler would go with that because I think Gabler is in a good middle position there. So it's going to get real interesting in these next couple of weeks.
It's going to get really interesting. And there are 7 people left and 3 idols. Those idols have never been touched. It's going to get – one has to come out soon. Or we get another Marianne situation where it's probably more of Jesse would be sitting in the final 3 and saying – hey, Janine, it's right here.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just don't know. I just don't know with the idols and everything right now. Somebody's going to have to play one at 7, right? Like, it just feels like stupid not. And I guess maybe they won't because they don't know how many idols are out there. But you're getting down to it. Like, if I'm Cody, I'm probably playing my idol at final 7 no matter what if I don't win immunity, because I just have to win like 2 more immunities or find a way to win 1 more or something. Like, I don't know. It just feels like 7 is the time that that blindsides happen. I'd probably play an idol at final 7, no matter what, if I was going out on Survivor.
And there's only 3 real votes left. So it's 1 out of 3 shot. You're either going to go home or you got to play it. So I think that it's also like, they're going to start getting antsy. I assume if you hold all of them have had those idols for a very long time, or at least Carla and the original Cody one. I have to imagine you get a little antsy to start playing it and start being showy, because Noelle had that big moment last tribal and everyone was a little like jealous of it. Everyone's like, she said this big move. I feel like this is the time to start doing that because there isn't as much time to get people out.
There's not. And having an idol sitting there at final tribal council generally never does you any good. We saw that with Troyzan. You know, it might've worked out for Marianne, but it generally doesn't work for people. And so to sit at final tribal council and have an idol, what good does that do? You need to find a way to make your moves, right? And that's why I thought Gabler might've made this move tonight to vote out Jesse or Cody and pull a little J. I did that, you know, as they're walking out. But I guess he just didn't feel like it was the right time. If I'm Gabler right now, Gabler's in the final 3.
Yeah.
If I'm looking at this final 7 and where everybody stands, if I'm Gabler, I know I'm in the final 3 because look at the pairs. I just went through the pairs. That's what it is. Somebody needs you. So I understand where this move comes from, because now Sammy and Owen are forced to pair up and Noelle can't be a part of that. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious, how do you get rid of Cody or Jesse and have the other one not just go like absolutely batshit after that then?
Yeah. You have to get rid of Jesse because he has both the idols, but I don't think anyone's going to – I think people would get rid of Cody because they're closer to Jesse.
And I don't think they realize necessarily that he has both the idols. They only know he has one.
Yeah, and I think they think it's Cody's.
Yeah, they only know he has Cody's, and that was even the conversation – what do you say? That was with Noelle. That was part of his cover-up or whatever, where he said that he was just talking to Cody and Cody wanted his idol back, and she's like, oh, you were holding it? Yeah, I was holding it. You know, yeah, like simple, done. That was the conversation.
Yeah, and I was holding it, that's the thing. But he's still holding it. So
yeah.
He's playing a good game. I don't want to discount that. He's playing an incredible game.
But I feel like if we sat here and we just talked about how good of a game Jesse was playing, we'd be a very boring podcast, because the show just showed us what Jesse's been doing. You know what I mean? Like, they just told us how good he's playing.
And that's not what we do here.
No. We have to knock people down a peg. You know, you get built up on CBS, but you get knocked down on the Survivor Specialist. We don't have time. we don't have time for that.
I think that's a beautiful way to wrap this up, because I know you have to hop on to
the
podcast, which is going to go live probably right after this. So we, unfortunately, weren't able to get a guest this weekend. It's a little tough with Thanksgiving. And the only time that Phil and I are free is Monday in the middle of the workday, just due to the nature of what we're both doing right now. So Phil and I are just going to be back, just your two favorite Musketeers. We're going to be live Monday at noon Eastern. And then right after that, we're going to record our two patron podcasts. So for those of you who are patrons, of course, why would they come out any earlier than the last 2 days of the month? Make sure to tune into that. Phil is going to do his after show probably tomorrow morning. Actually, Friday. Thanksgiving. So why
See you all Friday.
that's what Phil is thankful for. We're going to have Amazing Race podcast. We're going to have Challenge podcast by McKenna and company. And make sure to tune in. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter, and hope everyone has a wonderful Thanksgiving to those who celebrate.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving, and can't wait to see you all with my final seven predictions where I finally put Gabler back at number one.
No, that's mine.
Nope, I'm putting him back. He's my new Michelle again. Gabler.